Thank you, Reese. If you have your Bible, I want to draw your attention today to a little word, verse 23, that Brother Scott read. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense." Now, if I were to take this minute this morning, how many of you like to offend people? Good, nobody. That's a good thing. How many of you have ever offended somebody? That's your hand. Good. That's everybody. All right. So nobody wants to, but everybody's done it. Now, let me explain this to you. Who's probably the worst person? In other words, the person you respected the most that you offended? Well, you might say, well, it would be my wife or my husband or my boss. I offended them. It's easy to offend people, but let me take just a minute. The word offend is the word scandalon in the Greek text. And I put these two books here. I don't know if you can see them or not. But an offense is something that you and I lay down in front of somebody that they can trip over. That's an offense. It could be a word that you said. It could be a bill you didn't pay. It could be you didn't do a homework assignment and your teacher really was trying to get everybody together and get you to learn the lesson and everybody but you did the homework assignment right and the teacher was offended because you didn't listen. And now, understand, many times we should not be offended. Many times we should step over things. But we all offend. And we all offend in words, James says. So I want you to notice, if we were going to offend somebody, I really wouldn't want to offend Joe Dill. I love Joe Dill. He's a great blessing. I wouldn't really want to offend Risha. I really wouldn't want to offend Brother Scott. I really wouldn't want to offend John Haggard. I wouldn't want to offend... That offended me, I want you to know. I don't know what to do here, okay. Do you hear me? Is I still on? Okay. I wouldn't want to offend somebody. But the last person I would not want to offend is Jesus Christ. So in other words, if I had to choose between Jesus Christ or Joe Dill, he's getting it, okay? If I had to choose between Jesus Christ and anybody, it's going to be anybody. But listen to this. We don't have to offend people. And we certainly don't have to offend the Lord. But we do. So this morning, I want to draw your attention about a couple things. Number one, I want you to see how Peter, you might want to notice why he was offensive. Why it was a way that he actually caused the Lord an offense. Now, you'll notice Jesus Christ is saying, we didn't read it in verse 21, but notice this. From that time forth, this is Matthew 16:21. Began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, I don't think they were listening. Peter heard "be killed." Oh, that's not what he wants to notice what he says. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine Peter putting his arm around Jesus Christ and walking and all of a sudden, no more? You know, this isn't the right thing for you to do. Go to Jerusalem and be killed. And the Lord looks at him and says, notice, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, let me just throw something out. This is for people that like to think a lot. I'm not sure at this point in time that Peter's truly saved. Because we know that Satan can't fill us when the Holy Spirit lives within us. Now, I'm just throwing the thought out there, because now turn in your Bible to Luke 22 and notice this. And the Lord, verses Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So I'm not going to say positively one way or the other, but I am going to say Peter was not doing the right things. He was not in the will of God at this point. Now, I want you to notice that he wasn't listening when Jesus was telling him what was going to happen. He didn't listen. Anybody here ever, you heard somebody, but you didn't listen? You know what I'm talking about? Somebody said something to you, it went in this ear and out this ear, and it didn't collect in the brain. And so yesterday, Janet and I were making some visits, and somebody needed a desk moved. And so there were a couple of us moving this desk, and I had one end of it, and the gentleman had the other end of it, and somebody else on the side. And it was a pretty heavy desk, and we were carrying the desk. And we got up to this sidewalk and started going into the house, turn into the stairs, the steps of the house. And I heard somebody saying, watch out, watch out. Keep in mind, there's a scandalon in front of you. There's a potted plant in front of you. And I'm carrying this, and I'm watching the guy in front of us. Watch out! It's between your feet. And I stopped. It took three times. And I looked down, and there's a potted plant right here. Well, if I'd have tripped over that, I'd have broke up the desk, and that guy'd have got hurt. And I got thinking, I said, Lord, thank you. And it was the neighbor lady back there yelling, watch out! And I am going following this guy, not paying any attention. I think that's the way a lot of us live, me included. And by the time I stop, the danger is right there. And so Peter, he's doing his thing. He's got the Lord. He's walking around saying, Lord, no, this isn't right. You shouldn't be doing that. This be far from you that you go to the Jerusalem and die. And Jesus said, watch out, Peter. There's a plant right there. Peter ignored it, went right on. Tripped up and fell. Now, why? Well, I want you to notice a few things about Peter. Number one, he was fleshly and spiritually very weak. Again, not sure he's saved because Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So apparently Satan, either he was saying you're acting like Satan, or he's saying Satan has filled your heart. And when you get saved, I want you to strengthen my people. You could go either way. But we know this, number one, Peter was a braggart. Anybody here that's a braggart's not right with the Lord. Well, he talking with his other disciples, and he says, hey, you know, who's going to be the greatest when we get into heaven? Well, I think I might be the greatest, and maybe, you know, you're going to be the greatest. I don't know, but you know, I did this last week, or I did that week. He was a braggart. Do you remember whenever Jesus warned him again? Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice. Does anybody know what he said? Can anybody tell me the next sentence? I might die, but I'm not going to deny you. Now, that's pretty braggadocious, especially when Jesus himself said, when the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. You're already going to have denied me three times. So you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for every chicken around. I'm going to make sure I don't hear that cock crow. And if I see it, okay, watch out, watch out. Just like I did with carrying that desk. Watch out, watch out. It's between your legs. Oh. You see, Peter, number one, didn't listen well. Number two, he was a braggart. He thought he was a lot better than he was. Now, there's a lot of us in this room, if we're not careful, we'll look at our accomplishments and think we're closer to the Lord than we really are. In reality, we're an offense to the Lord because there's something in our heart between us and the Lord. And we won't give it up. Now, this passage, Peter was an offense because of something he said. Now, I want you to listen. Peter also spoke before he thought. Anybody ever done that? Ooh, I have to be real careful. Speak before you think. I mean, think before you speak. Don't just rattle something off. Think about it. Bring every thought captive the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You bring every thought to Christ. And say, Lord, is this okay with you? Now I can speak. Did you know, if you have your Bible, look in verse, this is Matthew 16, verse 23. We read it. Notice he says, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. And he explains why. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. Savorest, the Greek word phroneo, which means you don't think like God thinks. Phroneo, things that go through the mind. Literally, it is the fact that you don't, there's no understanding in your mind of the same thing that's in the mind of God. Now, I'm afraid that's a lot of us. So when I speak out of turn, I am not speaking the same thing God's going to speak. So when somebody's warning us, like I'm trying to warn you today, and I'm trying to warn my own heart, be careful, think before you speak. Otherwise, you can be an offense to someone and to your God in heaven. Now, I wouldn't want to offend somebody here, but boy, Lord, I don't want to offend you. But let me just say this. We're always an offense when we're bragging on ourselves. We're always an offense when we speak before we think. And we got to go back and say, I'm sorry I said that. And notice this. He had a foul mouth. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 26. Just a few chapters over. Notice this, Matthew 26. Notice Matthew 26, verse 73. Now keep in mind, he was reminded by Jesus, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Now, wouldn't you think that after the first and second time he says, wait a minute, the cock's fixing to crow. Look, verse 72, and again he denied with an oath, saying, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Your speech betrays you. You're not telling the dirty jokes and cursing like all the soldiers are, like all the people out around here. You don't talk like the rest of everybody here. You must be one of his. Did you know your speech does mark you? If you're gracious and kind to people and you think before you speak, you're going to be different than the world because most of the world just says what they think. And you know what? A lot of times, most of the times, when you make the world angry, they're going to cuss at you. Verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now I want to tell you something. Peter did not connect the first three things that happened. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know any blankety blank, blank, blank. I don't know him. And then he heard the cock crow. It was like a dagger in his heart. And I'm wondering if he wasn't saved after this. I don't know. But you'll notice, if you would, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Why didn't he remember it before the cock crowed? He was warned. We're being warned this morning by looking at Peter's life. Now, when we get to heaven, you know, Peter may say, Pastor Pittman, I wish you hadn't exposed me so much from Scripture. How many of us would like to have our name up there and stuff like this said, and someone saying, look, I heard so-and-so just let off a string of curse words, and is he really saved? Well, sure, Christians can be saved and do that. Well, do you understand today he was warned by the Lord? And I'm warning to you that if you use foul language, you're not close to the Lord. You might say, well, but so-and-so does it. So-and-so's not close to the Lord either. I want you to understand your words open up and show what's in your heart. And when we get angry, that's whenever the real heart is exposed. Well, fear can cause that. Peter's afraid. He's afraid he's going to get what Jesus is about to get. But he's forgotten the words of the Lord. Could I challenge you this morning? Please don't go out of here and say, I don't remember what pastor said. I don't remember what scripture was read. Remember, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Even if we knew that, unless things are different in our heart, we're still going to do it if we are warned about it. That's the sad thing. Such a hurt to the Lord. Peter, you're an offense to me. Are we an offense to Christ this morning? Because of the thoughts that we think? Because of the attitude that we share? Because of the quickness of our temper? Are we an offense to the Lord? We've all been an offense, but the question is, are we growing out of it? That's what I want to bring this up about this morning, that you would grow out of being an offense of Christ. We all are, but that you would do it less and less, and maybe you learn how to handle it if you do, and that you get better and better to where you can walk with Christ and quickly take care of things. That you are not an offense to the Lord. The way you speak to your husband, you're an offense. The way you speak to your wife, you're an offense. The way you speak to your parents, you're an offense. The way you speak to your boss, you're an offense. Do you understand that all of us can trip over a schedule? But somebody's got to lay it down there. And we can do that even if we're warned. But not if we listen to the warning and change. Do you understand today that Satan is after every one of you? If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. I want you to see this verse. It's a famous verse. But I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice with me if you would. 1 Peter 5. Notice verse number 8. Be sober. Now that's not talking about don't be inebriated. It's talking about pay attention. Be sober. Be aware. Be looking. Listening for the cock. Look for the cock to make sure that it doesn't crow. Pay attention. Be sober. Notice this. Be vigilant. Okay, and now he's saying, look, not just be aware, but consistently look around that you don't cause an offense to Christ. Okay, well, I'm not going to share the gospel with that person. I don't feel like it, an offense. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In Sunday school, we talked about James 1. It's not, we don't, it's, our society's all into it. But the idea is that when people come into our church and visit, are we warm and friendly to all of them? Now, folks, listen to me. I went by and visited with somebody recently, and they said, when I visited your church, boy, everybody was warm and friendly to me, and I just wanted to come back. But that's not always the case, because all of us can get busy with what we're doing, things we've got planned. Is the ham at home going to burn up? Is the meatloaf going to be okay when we get home? Our mind is all over the place. We're not listening. Are you causing an offense? My wife, how many of you know that I get a little fidgety sometimes? Maybe you don't know that, okay? There's no need to laugh, okay? I would sit down by my wife, Susan. I don't do it now. I try to not be an offense, and I try to avoid it. But I would sit there during a revival. It's the only time I ever got to sit with my wife as a revival or missions conference. So I'd sit right down there with my wife. And by the way, I always carry these pens. How many of you know I always carry pens in my pocket? Because I can write a name down. I can write a phone number down. Maybe I can be a blessing to somebody if I need a witness to them later on. But I always keep a pen in my pocket in tracks. And so, excuse me. But they don't have clickers on them. Because I would sit down beside Susan, and I'm listening. Click, click. And my wife would reach her hand over and put her hand on my knee. Yes, ma'am. What do you need, honey? Click, 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 click. She'd say, would you stop clicking that pen? Oh, yeah. Am I doing that? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm listening. Boy, I tell you, that's a good point. Write that down in my Bible. It's a good point. Click, 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 click. The next time, fingernails. Have you ever heard of that? How many of you guys ever had that? You know, it's the fingernails. Well, oh, got that. Okay. All right. Put it in my pocket now. Anybody ever done that but me? I'm not trying to be an offense. I'm just not paying attention. Now, that's not so bad. I can look at my wife and say, honey, I didn't mean to do that. I know you didn't, honey, but could you not? Could you not do that? I said, because I'm trying to pay attention. It distracts me. I'll work on that. Okay. Now, you know, we sit down at the dinner table. Could you not sing, whistle at the dinner table? Oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. Okay, I don't do that now. I don't whistle at the table. I don't click pens. I try not to get my foot go like this. I try to sit very calm. And sometimes I have to go just like this to keep everything calm so I can listen. You know what? I don't want the cock to crow. Trying to pay attention. Lord, I don't want to embarrass you. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm the pastor. So you know what? When I'm coming in and so a child comes up to me in church and says, Pastor, I noticed you switched lanes and you didn't use your blinker. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? So now I'm driving. I put my blinker on down there at Route 7 to turn in the church. Make sure I don't forget it. And then my wife now says, could you turn off the blinker? I can't do anything right, it seems like. I'm trying. But I turn it on at Leesburg and leave it on all the way down and make sure I don't cause an offense. Do you realize all of us cause an offense? There's a right way to handle it. There's a way to learn and not be an offense. And the last person is, Lord, I don't want to offend you. Now, the first thing you got to do, if you have your Bible, turn with you would to Luke. I'm sorry, it's Matthew. Matthew 26. Notice this. Matthew 26, verse 75. When you remember what the Lord has told you, that's the reason you read your Bible, that's the reason you come to church, that's the reason you bring a copy of the scriptures with you so you can make notes and mark it so that you can grow in the Lord and remember what the Lord has said to you. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet. When he says to do good to others, forgive those that are mean to you. You learn to do the things the Lord said to you, but you got to remember his word. Now notice what he says in verse number 75. And Peter, this is 26:75 of Matthew. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, I did that. I didn't listen. Lord, I'm sorry. And he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and his heart was in his apology. I'm so sorry. Brought into tears. You know, if we make a heartfelt apology to somebody we offend, it'll make a difference. If you and I get on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. That's the first thing about not consistently. I don't know how many times it took me not to click my pen. It wasn't intentional. But you got to remember to say what the Lord said, what's right. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Number two, remember this. The Lord Jesus is praying for you. Look in Luke 22. Luke 22. Look in verse 32. Now, once you see verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, remember the words of the Lord. Simon remembered these words when he heard the cock crow. That's why he said, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Notice what he does. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, this word sift is really to try to shake you and do something to you that causes your inward faith to fail so that outwardly people can see it. So it's to sift you. It's to make you lose your temper so that outwardly people can hear you use the wrong words or see your spirit. And so as a result, inwardly you failed and outwardly you expressed it. That's this word to sift. So that he causes the Lord to be hurt and you to be ruined and your testimony. So you and I have to pay attention to the cock. I'm looking for him. I'm vigilant. I'm sober. I'm watching out. I don't want to hurt my parents' feelings. I don't want to hurt my wife's feelings. I don't want to hurt you, Lord. Notice what he says. I just remind you, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. Remember this, the Lord's pulling for you. You're never alone. You may say, well, it's so hard to do what's right. I'm trying to keep my blinker on at the right time. I'm trying to not click my pins. I'm trying to keep my knees still and all these things. And the Lord says, Dave Pittman, I'm praying for you. Well, that's a comfort. Number three. We've got to pray for our own protection. Lord, would you help me? Look at verse chapter 22, verse number 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not in temptation. He's talking to the same guys. He said, Peter, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Now, he hadn't sinned yet. He hadn't heard the cock crow yet. He says, Peter, pray. Pray that you say no when the temptation comes. Because you're going to offend me. You're going to hurt my feelings. Folks, when you're under pressure, that's the time to pray. Lord, help me. You want to be strong enough not to lay a scandal on, a tripping hazard for the Lord, an offense for your mate, for people at work, for the neighbor. Lord, help me. Lord, I can sense there's something going on. I'm getting under pressure. Lord, help me to say the right thing, to do the right thing. Number three, stay aware. Let me give you an example. How many of you heard me make the announcement? Don't forget. Fall back Sunday. Raise your hand. Don't forget. How many of you did not forget? You listened. Raise your hand. Okay, now, wait just a minute. This morning, I'm standing out there in the drink and somebody drives up that's never here that early. I'm here at 8:15, 8:20. This person drives up and says, oh, hi. And they began to tell me the story. They said, well, you know, I was at home and I was getting up for church and my wife wasn't up. I didn't want to wake her. So I tried to be very careful and quiet because I have to go to work. So I just came on to church. My phone rings. My wife says, hey, where are you? I'm going to church. So they were here when the cock crowed. You didn't hear. You didn't listen. Now, I would never want you to know who that person was because that would be embarrassing to them. But you can't embarrass Victor, so I'm not going to tell you anyway. All right? So his wife is saying, Victor, you didn't turn your clock back. As he's driving, no. He comes to church and he tells me all about it. I said, Victor, I got to use that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Pay attention. Were you at church? Yeah. I announced it. Did you hear it? No. I'm carrying this desk. Watch out. I'm not listening. Watch out. It's between your feet. The third thing is, you got to listen. We've got to pay attention because the Lord's warning us. He's saying, look, I love you. Don't wait for the cock to crow to do what's right. Now, I'm thankful Victor was just here a little early. I'm thankful I didn't trip over that. But those things are little things. We can laugh about them. You know, I have forgotten in the past also. And my wife would remind me, I'm getting up a little early. What are you doing up at 4:30 for? Oh, I forgot. You know, my point is that all of us, we have to listen. We have to be vigilant to hear. And folks, you got to understand that. Notice if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 16. Look at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, here's what we have to do. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You guys got to, we all have to put ourselves second. Did you know 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, before it speaks about the devil as a roaring lion, it says, humble yourselves. The more humble we are, the more we listen. The more humble we are, the more we think before we speak. The more humble we are, the less offense we are to anybody. The more we try to, Lord, I want to deny myself. I want to please you. I don't want to cause you an offense. Would you help me? And the Lord will strengthen you. Today, have you caused somebody an offense? Make it right. Today, are you thinking before you speak? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Because the ultimate offense is to die and go to hell when Jesus holds out his hands and said, I died to save you. Don't reject me. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, maybe you've called somebody an offense and I've got to make this right. Maybe you haven't been listening. The Lord's been speaking to your heart. Could I encourage you to come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to do what's right before. Lord, help me to do what's right before the cock crows. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know it. I'd encourage you to come. Jesus holds out his hands and says, I love you. Will you trust me? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen.